Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Okay, we're in this subject called spiritual growth, in that how do we grow spiritually, and in reality, all growth should be spiritual. We begin with talking about how God made us and created us and made us to be perfect and how that's how he always wants us to be. Well, the fall came. We all made our mistakes. We've all sinned. And yet Jesus Christ comes back to restore things to what they were. We talked last week about grace, how that everything that comes into our life is the opportunity for God's grace, even the tough ones. Even the hard things are the things that you and I have that God says, look, as you're going through this hard time, I'm going to be there. My grace will be sufficient for you. And if you'll hold on to it, you can grow. And yet when we go through the hard times, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Just really tough. So continuing to look at that, we're going to look at this morning the importance of Jesus. The importance of Jesus. Now, I'm going to mess with your minds a little bit, okay? Yeah. Jesus has gone to be with the Father, but yet he also lives within us. Matthew 28:20, Jesus speaking, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Tells his disciples, I'm going to be with you. By faith we know he lives in us. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious and limited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. In some mysterious way that you and I will never comprehend, once we accept Christ into our life, he dwells in us along with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God resided in the temple. In the New Testament, you and I are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? And so, that's his importance. He's here to help us. He's here to be with us and to help us grow. Now, the big thing and next point we're going to spend some time with today is he identifies with us. He identifies with us. It's hard for us to comprehend, and I think sometimes we forget, that Jesus Christ gave us a personal human example of how to live. Now think about this. If he were to come today, he would live just like you and I, and he would never do anything wrong. And yet, he would face everything we've faced. He would deal with everything we deal with, and he would handle it perfectly. That's hard to comprehend. That's just really difficult to put into words, so to speak. And yet, when you and I go through the things of life, one of the great things that you and I have to draw on and to cling to is that we serve a God who was once us and still lives in us. Questions? All kinds, right? So let me just go through a few things that because of what he's done, who he is, what he identifies with. First of all, he identifies with us in our difficulties. He knows what it's like to face difficult times. He knows what it's like to suffer. No one grows to maturity without understanding suffering. And how you handle the difficulties of life determine your maturity in life. Because life is hard, isn't it? And it's never what you planned. It's not what you thought. Well, I thought it'd just be like this. It seldom is. And so he shows us, Jesus shows us, here's how you handle the sufferings, the difficulties of life. Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Now, let me just put it to you this way. One of the hardest times in our life to obey God is when things aren't going the way we think they should. Right? Things aren't, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, why aren't you stopping this? God, why is this happening to me? And we go through all these hard times, and one of the greatest temptations and struggles we have is when we're in those times to keep doing what's right is really difficult. And yet Hebrews says he learned obedience when he suffered. We try to avoid pain and discomfort. He moved towards it. Luke 9:51. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, he knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem, didn't he? He was going to be crucified. He understood it. And so he understands there's nothing in your life that you've gone through that he hasn't gone through. And isn't it amazing we want to argue with that? Okay, I want to argue with that. The rest of you are much more spiritual than I am. I just, you know, really everything I've gone through, he's gone through it. He's faced this according to what the Bible says. Romans 8:17, since we're his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. In other words, what I go through now is very small compared to what's going to be waiting for me on the other side. And that's hard for us. I was listening to somebody the other day, and they said, you and I are supposed to be people of the future. That's what faith is. That's what hope is. We don't have it, but we believe it. We don't have it, but we hope for it. And our problem is, we're not people of the future. We want to live today. What gets me through now? And so I have to remind myself that whenever I'm facing a difficulty in life, Jesus understands that. And he faced it as well. Nothing you faced is as bad as what he's faced. He's faced the same things. Questions? Comments? Groans? Oh, me. That's really big because, let's be honest, life is filled with suffering. It's filled with hurt, difficulty. It's filled with it. Yeah. Right. Right. It's just incredible what he does for us. He understands. So he identifies for us in our difficulties. He also identifies us when others deliver pain. Now, for all of you here today, I hope that if you haven't been in first service, you're going to stay. We're going to deal with this subject again. I figure I could give you a double dose of it. Since it's so critical, because you remember when we started out, what did we say? God built us for relationships, right? And so that's what he wants to do. So you and I bring a great deal of pain into our lives just on our own choices, our own decisions. But we also have a lot of pain delivered to us through other people, right? Anybody had children? You know. So we have how we handle the pain that others bring to us becomes critical in our growth. And God many times uses relationships to help you grow. I think that's one of the key things of marriage. Marriage is two people put together who both need to grow up and spend the rest of their lives trying not to. So what do we do? So how do I deal with it? I'm going to give you some of the things that we talked about in this sermon this morning, but I'm going to give you some other things as well. What do I do when somebody is hurting me? How do I handle that? Well, I need to clearly see the wound. I need to clearly see the wound. In other words, just saying, "Well, that doesn't hurt," or "I'll be okay," or "It's no big deal." Who are you kidding? Everybody knows different than that, don't they? I need to be honest enough to say, that hurt me. I need to clearly see it. I need to understand that it happens. Jesus never pretended that things didn't hurt. In fact, he talked to his disciples and says, "I am about ready to really get hurt. People are going to hurt me." And when he started talking like that, the disciples rebuked him. Now, we all understand, don't you? You're probably not in solid ground if you're rebuking Jesus. You know, that's probably not the place you want to be. But notice Matthew 16:21. "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly, it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that I'm going to suffer a lot of things at the hands of the elders and the priests and the teachers of the religious law, and I'll be killed. But on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead." And Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "that will never happen to you. Everybody will love you." And see, everybody doesn't always love us. Or, what's the old saying? You only hurt the ones you love. So, I don't live in denial. I don't pretend like no big deal. I clearly know that hurt me. Now, please hear me. You need to know that. You don't need to tell everybody else. All right? "Well, they really hurt me. They did this. They said this. They did that. They, you know." No. You take care of it. You need to be honest about it with him. You know, that hurt. That hurt. People hurt us. We all get hurt. And you can't say, "Well, I never get hurt by people." Yes, you do. Come on. So I need to be clearly see there's a wound here. Then I need to do a second thing that is very difficult to do. I need to stay connected. I need to stay connected. When relationships get hard, we tend to run away. Boy. I don't want to burden you with my problems. I can take care of this on my own. I don't want anybody to know what's going on. None of these help you grow. And so God says, look, first service, he says, "I'm going to restore the relationship." In order for the relationship to be restored, you have to stay connected to the person, don't you? But this is what first service felt like right here. Just silence, man. Because, see, our tendency is to get disconnected when things get tough, isn't it? Even with God. Have you ever noticed that when you go through a difficult time and you get hurt, God stays connected to you? Even though you don't want to be sometimes? And you tend to get disconnected from him? And so Jesus, he stayed connected when he was hurt. How many times had the disciples bailed on him. How many times did they not understood? He knew what was going to happen. And yet when he's facing one of his most critical hours, Matthew 26:38, he says, "My soul's crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here with me and keep watch." Keep watch with me. Keep watch with me. And you know the story. He went away, he's a little ways, prayed, and he comes back, and are they keeping watch? Yeah. They're sleeping, aren't they? Goes away again, gives him another shot, another crack at it. Comes back. What are they doing? Sleeping. You think that hurt a little bit? You think, man, here I am. I'm going through this, and where are you? What's going on? And you see, we want to run away, and God says, stay in the battle. Okay? Good so far? Want me to start again? Nah, hurry up and get through this. I want to know this is over with. Next, don't consider retaliation. Now, when we get hurt, the natural response is, I want to hurt back. So that when you get in an argument with somebody and they say something that hurts you, what's your natural inclination? I want to say something that's going to hurt you. I want to make sure you understand. We by nature have a law of retaliation in our hearts. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? And yet Jesus comes along and says, look, when people hurt you, here's what I want you to do. Matthew 5:39. I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Oh, man. He's lost us there, hasn't he? Yeah. Now, please hear me. Jesus is not saying you should never protect yourself from getting hurt. He's not saying that. He's not saying just let somebody beat up on you. He's not saying that. He is saying, look, when you're in a difficult situation with somebody, you need to not retaliate and accept what's going on and stay with it. Now, don't let somebody beat you up. I mean, Proverbs 22:3, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And Jesus constantly had to turn the other cheek. The people attacked him. They said wrong things about him. They called him a liar. They said he wasn't who he says he was. You don't find him retaliating. He just quietly, consistently goes about what his business was. And he kept, you know, he goes to another scene. Here's these same people again doing the same thing. Now, listen to me. Are we so fragile that we cannot take somebody saying something that hurts us? Are we that fragile? Okay, the answer is yes, isn't it? Why? You know what's going to happen. You know it's a part of life. And many times when the person says something that hurts you, they didn't intend to hurt you, and they don't know that they hurt you. Right? And yet we wear our feelings on our sleeve. Is that the thing? And we allow all these things to happen. And Jesus, through his scripture, says, look, no matter what happens to you, don't strike back because you don't know the whole picture. You don't know the whole story. Now, let me say this next one, because it's don't be controlled. Now, our initial response to being hurt is we lose self-control. I want to hurt back. I want to run. I want to do something to protect myself. I want to get revenge. And yet, when somebody hurts us, it shows how little control we have over people. Now, please hear me. Good relationships do involve confronting. They do involve forgiving. They do involve reconciling. However, some relationships are not going to work. Here's why, and I say this, those of you who haven't heard it, I'm going to say it again. But as far as it's possible with me, I'm going to live at peace with everybody. If they choose to be that way, so be it. But I'm not going to let them control me. Now, people will try to manipulate you. Well, unless you say you're sorry, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You ever watch the 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 50-year-olds? You ever, you know, listen to the conversations? You know, well, you know, if that's where you're going to be, then I won't be your friend anymore. How childish. And you see, we try to manipulate. Well, you said, well, you did this, you did this, you did this, trying to control. See, here's Jesus. All the way through, people tried to control him, didn't they? The religious leaders tried to get him to do it this way. They said, this is what needs to be done. He didn't retaliate against them. He just let them condemn him and go against him. But he didn't give control of his life to those who injured him. He completed the task the Father gave him to do, and he was in charge of his life to the end. In other words, I am going this direction. This is where God has called me. This is the person God needs me to be, and I hope you'll come along with me. And you're invited in this journey. But nothing will get me off course or off track from obeying the Father. And that means you hurt me, I won't retaliate because I'm going to obey the Father. You hurt my feelings, that means I'll forgive because I'm obeying the Father. You see, when somebody hurts you and you don't forgive them, you've gotten off track, haven't you? You've gotten off course. And therefore, you're not healthy, correct? So what you see is Jesus, all throughout his life, resolutely, here's where I'm going because this is what God wants me to do. You and I, once we accept Christ, resolutely, here's the road I need to walk. Remember, Jesus says, look, the road to hell is broad. There are a lot of people go there, but the road to heaven is this narrow road, and few choose to go down it. And no matter what happens in our life, you and I choose, I am walking this road. And no matter what happens to me, difficulties, I'm down this road. People creating pain for me, I'm down this road. Nothing is going to get me off track or cause me to choose to react in a way that is contrary to what this road demands. That's healthy living. I'll love you all the time. I hope you'll walk with me. Is everybody going to understand your choice to walk down that road? No. Sometimes just by you walking down that road, people will get offended. You're not choosing to offend them, but well, that's why if you're not going to give in to me and give me my way or do it, you know, no, you walk that road. And so you and I come to that place where I'm not going to allow somebody else to control me. I'm going to keep walking down this road. Now, talk about a little bit in the message. Satan is doing everything he can to get you off that road, isn't he? He's trying to get you over here or over here. Well, you know, this happened to you. You need to do this and you need to do this. He's doing everything he can to destroy relationship. Christ is doing everything he can to keep you on that road. You know, we're going to talk a little later about the Holy Spirit. What's he do? He tries to keep me on this road. And so I have to understand what's going on as I walk on this journey and not let anything send me in another direction or down a different road. That makes sense? So that I have to make that choice on a daily basis. Yeah. I want balance beams. Questions here, thoughts here, comments here. Yes. If I will walk down the road, relationships will be healthy. If I don't walk down that road, relationships will be unhealthy. And so I have to do everything I can to say, this is where God has me. Sometimes that means I do have to separate myself from people. Doesn't mean I don't love them anymore. Doesn't mean I don't care for them anymore. But I got to go down this road. You're invited to come, but I got to go down this road. This is what God wants me to do. Now, I got to be careful that I don't create my own road, because all of us are good at being bulldozers. I'll just... No, it's the road Scripture lays out for us of how we act and how we behave and what we believe and where we're headed. And I stay on that. And let's be honest, all of life is about me constantly. You know, if you drive a car, you don't sit in that car with your steering wheel in your hand just like this, do you? You're constantly doing this, aren't you? All of life and going down this road, it's constantly, get back here, stay here, this is here, don't lose sight, keep doing this. And the enemy will do everything he can to get your eyes off of it, to get your heart off of it. And I have to stay on course. Right. 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 Satan's very subtle in what he does in trying to get you off course. Very subtle. You don't even notice it at first. But because he deceives. But as God deals with you, you put yourself back in place and on course. Other questions, comments? Boy, I really thought there'd be a bunch here. Yes. Right. Right. Well, and here's the deal. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. His Spirit is in me. So when people hurt or when difficulties come, as long as I'm listening to Him and am aware of His presence and know that He went through some of the same stuff, that helps me not get as offended as what I could get. Because I understand, you know what? This is part of life. This is part of the nature of things. God, He understands this and deals with that. And so I can go on. But the moment I think I'm a martyr, no one understands. No one knows what I'm going through. It's just so hard, so difficult. You know, that's when you get in trouble. All right, good. We'll go on. He identifies with our desires. With our desires. He knows that there are temptations that come along the way that will get us off track, and we have this evil, carnal nature that we still have to battle, and He understands it. In fact, what we see in Scripture is that the very beginning of His ministry, Jesus, in a weakened state, spent 40 days without food. Satan comes and tempts Him. Turn the stones to bread. In other words, meet your needs in ways other than God's. You know, throw yourself off the temple. You know, don't trust God. Don't do it. Just go do what you want. You know, I'll give you all the kingdoms. In other words, if you take this here, you won't have to go through the suffering. And so He went through the temptations like you and I go through. After all, the Bible says all the temptations are wrapped up in three. Pride of the flesh. The pride of life. I forgot them. Some of you more spiritual can remember all that. I had them for a moment. They're gone. It's old age, okay? I can start using that as an excuse, can't I now? Okay. You know what I'm saying. Pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Okay? Now notice what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we're being tested. Hebrews 4:15. High priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Jesus always, now there, in those two verses, there's two key words. You can read back through them. In the first word is help. He's there to help us. He wants to help you. The second word, understands. He understands. No temptation will take you but what's common to man. And he understands. You always have somebody who understands you. Always. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, it is necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful, faithful high priest before God, or intercessor would be a great word there. He could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we're being tested. He understands. He knows. He helps us. That means you're always understood. Another word for that is called empathy. He knows. He cares. We've been heard. Psalm 10:17, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. He's there. Then he identifies with us when we feel distance. You see, when we go through the issues of life, well, we've already talked about a little bit, we tend to want to run away and isolate ourselves, don't we? We tend to want to go someplace and lick our wounds. Yes, ma'am. Not if, he is. You are confused. He is. Okay? Since Jesus is perfect, right? Right. Right. On a cross, he experienced the guilt of the world. And therefore, he understands guilt. He knows what that feels like. He knows what it's like. And therefore, he knows how to respond to people who feel guilty. Thus, he dies to relieve that guilt. Is that good enough? And see, isn't it amazing how we always, you know, not saying she is, but it's a trait. I've always found this to be, everybody tries to figure out a reason of why they're different. Well, I'm not like that. You can't compare that to me. Here's the deal. When I was a youth pastor, I did hospital calls, and I'd go up and visit people and talk to them and tell them, look, I understand what you're going through, and you know, let me pray with you. I know it's hard in this, blah, 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 blah. And I'd pray with them. But then I'd hear more often than I care to understand, well, you don't know. You don't understand. Now, suddenly when I'm in a car wreck, and now I go up to the hospital, oh, okay, you do. Let me just tell you something. What I said, nothing changed. I still said the same things. Nothing changed, other than that person suddenly thinks somebody does understand. Now, The enemy tries to get you in a place where you don't think anybody understands. Because as long as you don't think anybody understands, you're free to come up with your own solutions. And Jesus, through the scriptures, God in his wisdom says, I'm going to make sure you can't use that excuse. Because I'm sending my son, he's going to go through everything you're through, and he understands. And if you try to say no one does, you're discounting scripture. Mm-hmm. Right. He would understand that. But he was tempted in every way like us. He went through the things we've went through. That it is the cross, but there's also his life that he demonstrated that. Feeling distance. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt distance. You know, God was there. He knew that, but he sinned, so dealt with things. He understood that, and he stayed true to it. And so you and I have to know that he is there to identify with us in everything. Last point. Here's the crux of it. Our independence has to be defeated. Us thinking I don't need anybody, us thinking I'm different and I'm alone and I know nobody knows what I do, us believing that we can handle it on our own without his help, we are a very independent people who don't think we need anybody, who think we can do what we want to do until we finally get to the end of our rope. Okay, God, help me. Wouldn't it have been much better if we'd done that at the start and stayed on course? And so you and I have to understand in this growth process, Jesus is in us and with us, and he understands and he cares. And he helps. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the help that you give to us and the road that you've called us to live. Help us to live it, I pray. In thy name, amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.